Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Agape Worldwide Prayer and Deliverance Ministry. This is Pastor Ruth from North Carolina. We welcome you on February 26, 2021. We welcome you. We praise God for you being here. We're thanking God for the ones that called in. Those who would like prayer, you click on one since you called in and I recognize your hand, or if you have a testimony to the glory of God, what he's done in your life. So we welcome you in the name of Jesus. We just thank for tonight, for being in spite of what's going on in the world, we are still blessed. This is why I have a saying, I tell people I'm blessed in spite of. It does not mean that I'm not going through things, but I have learned how to walk it out. I have learned that there's nothing coming my way that God has not either permitted, allowed, or whatever terminology we want to use, but it all will work together for my good. I mean, I can see it. I mean, I want to believe it. But the reality of it is God's word is true. He said his word is forever settled in heaven. He said not one jot, not one tittle of his word going to fall to the ground. So his word has been here over 2,000 years ago, and it will be here forever. So you can bank on God's word. You can take it to the bank. If he says what he says and you do what he tells you to do and obey his word, God will bring his word to pass because his word has gone out. Scripture tells us that the devil, he's a liar and the father lies. And scripture tells us that God is not a man that he should lie, but a man that he should lie, but and neither shall he repent. Has he said and shall he not do? Has he spoken it and shall he not bring it to pass? And if he spoke it, this is why you got to always make sure he is speaking. He is speaking. There's a lot of voices out there, and there's a lot of things we as people hear, what we want to hear, because, like I say, it's not but one voice, but the enemy, first the Holy Spirit uses our voice, we, and then the enemy, and we have to learn how to discern which voice are we listening to. Is the voice that we listen to is taking us closer to the Lord, or taking us closer to his hand, or taking us far away? And we know that the voice of the Lord is always going to bring us closer to him in a relationship. It's by having a relationship with him. And we know how in the natural, when we have a relationship with people, especially with ladies, with guys, and guys with girls, we always want faithful people. We always want truthful people. We all want people that love us unconditionally. So it's no other different than in the kingdom of God. You know, he wants the holy people. He wants the people that love him, not because of what he can do for them, not because he says he's the Father, but because when love is in your heart, you truly love people. They don't have to always do something for you, for you to love them, and you all don't always have your hand out. So I just want to encourage you, the best way to build a relationship is get to know him. You get to know him in his word. You get to know him in his preaching, his teaching, his prophecy, in the things that you go through. You learn to you learn his ways. He may take you through something different than someone else, but it does not mean that the way he's taking you, it wasn't God. It does not mean the way he's taking them is what him. But the ultimate purpose is to get us all into that rightful place, in that rightful place with him. That's what it is. So we have to be very, very sensitive to his spirit and conditioned to his spirit, because I'm going to tell you something. When you really get that Holy Ghost, I talk about the Bible, the real Holy Ghost, in you, you can't help but do right, because it will convict you. It will also, things that you go through, it will let you know when you're doing wrong, thinking wrong, acting wrong. And so, you know, I tell people, you know, we can get saved, born again, with your spirit, come in the spirit, and, you know, but become a new person in Christ Jesus. But we need that baptism in fire. We need that baptism in fire in us in order to be true witnesses. And true witnesses is not just someone telling people about the Lord, but they can see in your life that Christ really lives on the inside. Because everything about you changes. All change at one time, but you die daily. You and I have to crucify the flesh and the deeds of it. He give us the power to do so, but he leaves it in our hands. So it's up to us whether we yield to the enemy or whether we yield to Christ. Because one thing about it, in the Bible talks about it in the book of Matthew, The enemy first had to come in and bind the strong man, whoever that person is, in the life, in the house, in whatever it is, in order for him to steal whatever goods you have, he has to bind you up. So this is why we have to be on watch, prayerful and watchful all the time, and stay in that word. Stay in that word consistently run out of your mouth. And that is one thing I know that helped to keep me on post, and on the course with my mind stayed on Jesus. Because like I say, it's a lot of things that I do have to go through, a lot of things I deal with. But very seldom, I may tell a testimony about something I've gone through to help someone else, but to complain and to worry and to wonder why I'm going through and why this. I'm not saying I like everything I go through, but I know it's a part of who I am being called by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's what has already been put in the plans for my life and everybody else's life. But I'm going to go ahead on and pray. And then after I pray, I'm going to bring the word. I will be coming from Psalm, the 37th Psalm, tonight. Because, you know, and we as a people got to learn, first of all, we need to belong to him, and accept him as our personal Savior, and know that he always, he always take care of his own. So you never have to really worry about that. If you're worried about it, then you, it's a problem with you. It's not with him. But Father, in your precious name, we come to you tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for what I feel right now, Father. I thank you for this night, God. I thank you for the ones that call in, God. Lord, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I continue to pray that as you will lift them up, God, take them high and high in you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you right now for moving by your Spirit, Father. We thank you for revealing yourself to the people, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask you to give people a hunger and thirst after you and after righteousness, God, what you call righteousness, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just praise you for every city that's represented, God, in this country, God. We praise you for every country, every town, every station. We pray, Lord God, for your revival to come in the White House, all over the land, Father. Touch your people, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Set us on fire with the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you, Father God, to reveal yourself that we're standing in need of you tonight, God, in every area, in every country right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for this ministry. I pray for every ministry that has been called and truly called by you, Father, whether they're walking in the ministry or not, or whatever you have them doing, God. I pray for their ministry. I pray for finances. I pray for revelation knowledge. I pray for your anointing. I pray, Father God, for the angels to walk with them. I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that they don't do anything, Lord God, to call the angel not to walk with them, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask you to help them to speak the word of God, because the angel only will move on your word, Father, in the name of Jesus. He will not move on any negativity. He not will move on any kind of a bad language or anything, but he will move on the word of God. They are there as ministering spirit for the heirs of salvation. And God, I pray tonight for the hospital, the nursing home, the doctors, God. I pray, Lord God, for the postmaster. I pray, Lord God, for the policeman, God, the state patrol. I pray for everybody tonight, God. In the name of Jesus, I lift them up to you, God, in the name of Jesus. Even the people in the hospital house, Lord God, those in the hospital bed, God, the little children, God, in the homes that they have to go in, God, even in their own home, I lift them up to you tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Father, send your angels to protect them and watch over them, Father. In the name of Jesus, and those, Lord God, who do have parents, God, let the parents, Lord, teach them and raise them right, Father, in the name of Jesus. And those of us, God, maybe who have children that may have grown up or whatever, Father God, Lord God, that you have made us spiritual moms over other children, God, let us be the person that you would have us to be, to raise them up in the nurture and admonishment of God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, let us live a life before them, Father God, that they can see Christ in our life, Father God. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, just so many people need prayer today, so many areas that we need to touch on, Father God. Lord, even the mayor people, God. Lord, even the deliverer people, God. Lord, people that got business, God. Oh, Lord, we lift them up to you right now. And I lift up the intercessors to you, Father God. The preachers, the pastor, real true preachers and pastor, God. They got churches open up in your name. Those that don't, Lord, we send the angels to tear it down, brick by brick and mortar by mortar, Father God, and establish the kingdom of God. And God, and we thank and we praise you tonight, God. Bless this ministry, bless this show, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, you started, and I'm believing you, Lord God, to finish it. In the name of Jesus, supply the needs. But, Father God, right now, send even the hunger people, God, who really want the word, who really want their lives changed, God, and help me, Lord God, to yield to your spirit to give out what you would have me to give out and when you want me to give it out, Father. I thank you for being a prayer answering God and for answering my prayer. But help me to live right and walk right before you. And, Father, this I do ask. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Like I said again, we thank God again for his mercy and his love. You know, I realize when God has called us to do a work, he gives us an assignment. When we stand before him, he's going to ask us if we did, even though he knows whether we have fulfilled the assignment. And we can't give him any excuses because he's not going to accept us. He sees everything anyway. And sometimes I just want to encourage people. Sometimes the Lord has you to do something, you have to do it alone. You really have to do it alone, but you're not alone because he's with you and the angels are with you. They're with you. They're ministering spiritually as a salvation. But the 37th Psalm says this. And before I go on, I want to say a lot of times when I listen, I hear people talk. They're fearful because of people that do evil. They live in fear. They live in concern as if the Lord is not going to protect them or watch over them or he shouldn't let it happen or shouldn't let this happen. But like I tell people, you need to read the scripture. Because Jesus said the same thing that he went through, we'll go through too. Now, when it comes down to the figurative, I mean, the literal cross, some of us over here in the Western world won't have to go through that problem now. But we'd be on a physical cross. And that means that he'd have a station in a position, a place. We can't do nothing but wait on him to move. He's causing you to die to the flesh. And your desires, if your desires are not lined up with his desire. So, but other things that he had to do and go through being persecuted, lied on, he didn't go through sickness. We're not really supposed to be going through that, but a lot of times we don't take care of the body. Sometimes we're in sin or whatever it is that bring things on us. But there is a way out. But walking in righteousness, walking in holiness, and then hear the voice, and we can be able to walk in abundant life in every area of our life. And I just want to encourage people, let people know, when that scripture is talking about abundance, isn't this, I'm not talking about a bunch of money, a bunch of wealth. But it's about everything, even in your life, your health, peace. All of these things is supposed to be at the top notch. Because people are supposed to look at us that don't know Christ and want to know why. That we look the way we look, appear the way we look, or how we can get around, and everything else. And wants to know, who do you know? Then we can tell them Jesus. That's a door open up to talk about Jesus. But Scripture said, fret not. Don't get angry, don't worry, don't become vexed, don't become agitated, don't even really become offense. Fret not thyself because of evildoer. Evildoer is somebody who's doing wrong and doing evil. And a lot of times we worry more about what they're doing and instead of getting our eyes off of us and what we're doing, because God will take care of them. And then he will have you to pray for them. And then we worry about what they'll do to us. We're not trusting in God that God got our back. You got angels watching, like I said, and walking with you. But the thing of it is, a lot of time with us, we say the wrong thing with the angels around us, and so they can't protect us. But a lot of time, if we go back over our life, things we've done and places we've been should have got killed, but we didn't, because the angel was there protecting us. And then sometimes with people, we don't never know who might look like, be an angel. They might not look like it, but we have to learn how to discern from the spirit. But anyway, he said, fret not thyself because of evil to those who do wrong, those whatever kind of wrong it is, if they mistreat you, they mistreat somebody else or whatever, it's really not your business to pray for them, but don't worry about them. Don't worry about what somebody's trying to do to you, how they're going to hurt you and this and that. You just stay in the will of God. And when you stay in the will of God, they have to get to him before they get to you. But he said, neither be thy envy. A lot of time I've seen, against the work of iniquity, a lot of time I see people be envious of these people because they done the wrong stuff to get stuff. They done hurt people to get stuff. And sometimes we're envious because it looks like they are prospering. Just to have material stuff is not prospering. You know, it's not prospering. We got a lot of material stuff. But our soul is not perfect. We're not even growing in the Lord. Body sick. What good is having all that stuff and can't enjoy? And we don't realize sometimes how people get stuff. Because a lot of times people get stuff and have all that nice stuff and still in that unhappy. Still got a home, maybe even if they're married, all kind of H going on. But still, we sometimes envy them. But you don't know how they got theirs. But the Bible tells you, if you obey God and walk in his will and walk in obedience, you may have to wait. But you can have what they got and more, but guess what? You may not have to pay for it. But we are not willing to wait because that envy, that jealousy, that is just continue to rise up and rise up and look at them and they don't even love the Lord. They don't do this, but look at what they got. See, so that meant that whatever I did for the body of Christ, I did in hope of he's going to do something for me because I did something for the body. Wrong reason. You do it because you love him. And he's going to bless you back because he loves you, me, whoever it is, and he is promising his word. If you give unto the poor, I shall repay. I shall repay. That's what he said, I shall repay. And this is why I tell people a lot of times, if I do anything for anyone, I don't really do it to expect anything back from them. I do it out of love, my love for God, my love for them. Because I hate to see people suffering. I hate to see people going through. It bothers me. Because I know that I'm supposed to be a person, each and every person in the body, I'm supposed to be a person that supposed to be able to take care of somebody's need. If, you know, if there's nothing but encouragement, nothing but praying for them, if I can't do it financially, you know, but feeling compassion for other people, but not to be envious because of them. Even in the body of Christ, I see a lot of people's envy because a lot of people supposed to be, you know, operating in prophetic, they're operating in preaching, teaching, you got other people, and you don't never know how they got there. Don't mean they don't have the gift, but it could. I've known and heard tell of women, and probably men too, have done things just to get in the pulpit. And we jealous because, look, God got me sitting waiting. I've been waiting for years, and he haven't put me out. It's better to wait and wait for God to put you out there than let man put you out there. Because he's telling us we're not supposed to be envy anyway. And that's actually the sin. But this is what he said about those people that do wrong and evil doers. Now, this is what he says, so you don't have to even worry about praying, because I do know people that try to pray for harm to come on people. You know, and that's just as wicked as the person that's doing it. But he says in his word, for they, to my, these evil, wicked people, shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. They're going to be cut down. This is what his word say. Okay? Sometimes people, but no, I don't think the Lord would do that. He's not that kind of God. These people made a choice. And he put stipulation in his word as to how we should live or how we should not live, what we should do. And if we chose that road, this is the consequence. So actually, it's the people doing it to themselves, not him. So they didn't follow his rules. They think he shouldn't have said that. But he said, he tell us, you know, don't be envy. He tell us don't even touch. Sometimes people touch people in their mouth because they don't understand how God uses them or what to do, and they make a comment. And that's the wrong thing. If you don't understand how God operates with somebody because you're not there yourself, best thing to do is shut your mouth up. I even try to shut my mind up. I remember sometime way back when I first started, you know, growing in the Lord, and I used to go to meetings, and I would try to fix myself, you know, in a sense I did in the natural. Because I didn't know no other way to do it. So when I went in, I wouldn't come up with thinking no crazy thoughts, saying nothing against the speaker or anything, you know, because I've always known, since I've been saved, a lot of people that's shown up in God, they know exactly what you think in your spirit. They know exactly what you're thinking in your spirit. They know. Because they can also feel your spirit. Sometimes people can see in the spirit. So I used to try, because I did not want, because someone would embarrass you. God would have them call you out and embarrass you, but you brought it on yourself. That's what happened. But he said, but they should soon be cut down at the grass and wither the green herbs. Trust means to have confidence, rely on, depend on. There's so many different words and that describe trust. When you trust someone, you don't doubt what they tell you. You don't question really what they tell you. You accept that whatever they told you is true. The only thing I tell people is that anytime people are being used by God, through the Spirit, test the Spirit, If you got the Holy Ghost in you, test the Spirit of God whether what they're saying come from God or not. When they bear witness with you in a man. Now, with me, what happened a lot of time, and this happened a lot of time, too, with people claim to be speaking for the Lord. I mean, they can quote that scripture from Genesis to Revelation. But when it's not coming from God, my inner man, it gets that weird, sick feeling, uneasy, no peace. Now, I may not say anything, unless sometimes people get ready to talk, you're just talking. I said, no, that's not God. That's not God. But you know, so that's why you have to grow. That's why you have to eat that word like you eat it more than you eat your natural food. But the real you is the spirit. It's not our flesh or body. Yes, the food is good for that because it keeps our body to a place supposed to be, that the Spirit of God have a place to live. Because if it does not have a place to live, and your body going down, you're going home. You're going up out of here. But Scripture tells us, trust in the Lord, not trust in self, not trust in man, not trust in family, not trust in jobs, not trust in government, not trust in anything, but trust in the Lord. The one and only God. Now, you got a lot of people out there call themselves Lord. You got a lot of people out there call themselves gods and whatever it is. You trust in the Lord. And he said, and do good. If you trust the Lord, he's going to automatically do good. You can't say, I trust the Lord, but then turn around and you're doing all kind of ugly things, you know, saying ugly things. That's contrary to Scripture. He said, and so shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So how do I dwell in the land and be fed? Spiritually, physically, emotionally, everything. By trusting in the Lord and doing good. Not because of somebody else, not because of the government, not because of my job, not because of my family, not because of anyone else. He may use them. But the ultimate trust is supposed to be in the Lord. And so dwell in the land, but that means we live or remain in the land. And verily, he said, verily, thou shalt be fed. So basically what he's saying, that one way or another, now I may not always have the best of food, but he said, I'll be fed. So whatever he sent in, I'm supposed to be thankful. You know, or either sometimes what I've seen the Lord do with me, sometime back, but he did have a prophet tell me a long time ago, he said, the Lord said that whatever he sent him be sufficient. So I said to myself, Lord Jesus, that means if you send a piece of bread, it's going to be enough for me for however long. But sometimes the Lord have put me on fast, you know, automatic or fast. You know, so he got many ways how to sustain you when you're going through and learning how to trust in the Lord. But he promised. We don't even have to ask and beg for food. Because he said when you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything going to be added. Food, clothes, and whatever. You're going to automatically come. Now, sometimes he may not let come what we think we ought to desire, and sometimes he does. Sometimes you can simply just say, oh, Lord, I wouldn't mind having me a steak today or what. And all of a sudden, somebody come and buy a steak. Or he let you go out and get a steak. He just, you know, we got to trust in his word. He promised what he'll do. And like I said, if he don't come through, Lord, I thank you anyway. I praise you because I know you are a sustainer of life. You're going to sustain me. And whatever reason you didn't let it come, it wasn't because you were trying to neglect me. You had a purpose that I didn't even know why. Maybe you wanted me to say something. Maybe you wanted me to sense something. So I'm going to trust you that if you did or didn't, that you did it, you allow it to happen for a reason. It's just like the Hebrew boys were saying, you know, back over there in Daniel. They were telling Nebuchadnezzar, even if our God don't deliver us, I know he can. See, when your trust is in your Savior, in your King, in your Lord, whatever term you want to use, you don't worry about what come upon you, what happened. Because you know if he wants to, he can deliver you at any second, any minute, last minute, or whatever. But then again, it's another testimony. If I'm in a situation and suppose the enemy's supposed to maybe hurt me or whatever, and I'm being protected, that's another testimony. So why? His power was there to protect me. It may not have been at that season to pull me out of that thing. But see, when you trust, I'm not total trust, total dependence upon God. That's what I had to get and still live with God. When God was taking me through transforming me as a vessel for the master's use, he allowed me to be in a situation. I had to make up my mind I'm going to trust him because there wasn't nothing else I could do. Wasn't nowhere I could go. Wasn't nobody going to actually help me because half of them didn't have nothing around me anyhow. So I said, Lord, I got to trust you or die. If I die, I'd rather die trusting you and believe you will come through for me than not. Because no matter what's going on with me, you still got my life in your hand. And with everybody else you have. But whoever, have to come to the place. Lord, I don't understand, but I'm going to trust you anyway. I'm going to thank you every day for what you're doing, what you're not doing. If you didn't do it, it's because I wasn't needed that day, or whatever your reason was. Because every delay is not denial. It's a delight. Delight means to please. God's fear also in the Lord. Praising him, glorifying him, thanking him. Lord, I love you. Even though you may not have what you want to have, Lord, I just praise you. Lord, you're so glorious, you're so wonderful, you're so precious, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you. I thank the heavenly host, Lord Jesus. Delight thyself. Be glad to do. When you're doing something for somebody else or your job or whatever it is, you do it as if you do it unto the Lord. Be happy to do it. Be pleased to do it, even though it could be rough, tough. But the Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I'm going to read that again, because he's giving us instruction and telling us, if I delight myself and please him, how do I please myself? Obeying him, doing what he wants me to do, being kind to people, loving to people, in every aspect. If I can, that Lord, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. But he said, when I delight myself in him, he shall. And anytime the Lord tell you, I shall do something, I will do, that's a done deal. That is a done deal. He said, I shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That's a promise. So why should I worry about whether you're going to do anything for me or not? Why should I worry about if anything going to come or not? Because he already told me when I delight myself in him, he going to give me the desires of my heart. So that means I don't be complaining, I don't be wondering, I don't be Lord this and Lord that and Lord the other, what's going on. But in the meantime, while I'm waiting, thanking and praising him and doing what he's telling me to do and doing with a joyful heart, you know, doing with a pleasant heart, you know, with the truth, light on our face and what we're doing. Lord, I just thank you. You know, you woke me up this morning, both day to pray for such and such, but Lord, I thank you. Or Lord, they woke me up. You know, such and such time because they need it. Lord, I'm doing it, in being delightful and pleasant. So by doing that, I have no doubt. Because the scripture tell me, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. This is why I tell people, even though we know, you know, just by word shall, I mean, basically it's done deal in a sense. But sometimes when I'm studying the word, I look at words like that, even though I'm assuming those, so I could not take them out of context in the scripture. And it let me know those words that he's telling me. Why am I got to worry about when he going to bless me? When he going to do this? Or when he going to let this come? He already told me when I delight myself in him. I know things we do in the scripture, not in scripture, we do, that it's not pleasing to God. I have an attitude and action. I would not trust in him. That's not delighting myself in him. That's not pleasing him. People say, well, I do trust him. No. Go look up some words and things and look at what it means to trust. When you trust an individual, think about an individual in your life that you truly trust. You don't keep after them and keep bugging them unless he's a worse person. You believe that whatever they told you, they're going to do. Mankind, they're lying to many. I'm talking about male or female. It doesn't make any difference. But your heavenly Father that created you now, he is not a lie. So why have we had to distrust him? And people say, well, I'm just trying to, keep it before me or keep wanting to keep seeing whether he's going to do. We have to keep seeing whether he's going to do anything or not. This is why I tell you all, if I'm praying for you, the first time I pray, I'm believing he's going to do it. The only way I go back and pray about that thing again is the Lord telling me, so the enemy is trying to hold it up. Then I'm going to go back and take authority over. I'm going to take them, I'm going to rebuke and bind up, I'm going to decree and declare the couple. I'm not going back to ask him to do anything. I'm not going to even ask anybody else to pray for him to do anything. because he already had given me a promise and told me how to get the blessings of things by delighting myself in him, doing what he want me to do, when he want me to do, how he want me to do. And I'm not talking about just because he speaks to me. God speaks to other people to ask you to do stuff. That's him. I'm not talking about killing people and all that stupid stuff. But maybe to do something. You know, I do many things, you know, for other people and what's kind of that people need not consider is doing kingdom work. But it is because you're serving. You're making yourself available for somebody else. You know? So I'm pleasing him by making myself available for other people. So I don't have to worry or be concerned because I'm delighting myself in him. I know that it's him. I know that it's not them. I know it's not me. Because like I said, we can do nothing without him. There's no good thing in none of us other than what he put in us. So by his word, delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee desires in thy heart. That should be a done deal with you and I or anyone else on the line or come on. That if I be more concerned about pleasing him and doing what he like, then I ain't got to do him but sit back and wait for him to move. But as I said before, a lot of times what we have to understand, God has to, you have to use people. And sometimes God has to get other people in place and in line to use them. So in the meantime, instead of me worrying about that, Lord, what do you want me to do? What's on your heart today, Lord? I want to please you today. Or if you just want me to sit and look in your face and tell you how much I love you, or you want me to go help somebody else, or you want me to be an arm today, a leg today, First Corinthians, the 12th chapter, remember it's about the parts of the body of Christ. He might want to use you today just to sit and listen to somebody got some problem. You'd be in the ear. Or he might want you to go somewhere and talk with somebody. Sometimes God would have people talking to you. I'm seeing it. You have it be so boom, let it come out of your mouth, and he had them just coming in defense. It has happened in my life. So I allow him, Lord, you know, if you don't want me to say nothing, I shut up and let them do the talking. So we have to understand, doing things that's going to please him. It's not about pleasing you. It's not about pleasing me. It's not about pleasing others. So even if you treat me right, you pleasing him. If you mistreat me, you mistreating him. So if I'm mistreating him, I cannot expect to get whatever he has said he's going to give my life. Did I get it straight? He said, commit. Commit me to throw it on him, lay it on him, or trust thy ways and mean your path, the way you go, unto him. Not for you to say, I'm going to do this there because that's what I want to do. I'm going to go this place. No, you're not committing. You're not even relying on him because you're going to expect him to take care of you when you go. But you didn't even ask him if you could go. And that's what it means by being led by the Spirit of God. That he's leading you to go, and he has to protect you. But what you're doing, you're tempting him by going and having another tempting him. Anyway, he said, commit thy ways, which just means your path, where you're going, your road, whatever terminology, you're going, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. This is not just a foot travel. I'm trying to say, I want to make a decision today. Maybe I want to go to a gospel concert. But I'm going to ask him, Lord God, is it your will for me to go? Because it could be something going to happen at that thing, and you could die. This is why it's so important to learn your flesh has to die and learn how to be led by the Spirit of God in everything. And I'm not talking about what people, we hear people say a lot of times, I heard the Lord say this, I heard the Lord say that. But never about any instruction about their life, about what he don't call them to do. Never about that. God is not going to talk to us about other stuff. It has nothing to do with our direction and instruction for him. That's got to come first. But I'm going to read that again so we can really get that in our spirit. I'm going to go back up fourth verse. So we need to really get this in our spirit. Delight thyself. Please him, not yourself, okay? Also in the Lord. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, your pathway, the road you take, wherever you're going, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So you cannot just commit your ways unto the Lord and don't trust him and think he's going to bring pass. This is why you have to take time with that word and read it over and over. Take it, read it slow to see exactly what it's saying. I'm not talking about, because a lot of times what I've known, because I've done this, I've heard words and scriptures quote over a period of time until I got in the word and I found that it was quoting wrong. And sometimes I have done that, not intentionally, but I've done that. This is why it's important to read the word yourself. I don't care who the person is, because a lot of times, like I say, we all have the flesh, live in the fleshly body. And the enemy can always come and make us say something, make us think we know something, and say it the wrong way. And the Bible says there's no word that we say we want to give an account of. This is why he says study to show yourself approved. He says study. He didn't say just listen to people preach and teach and prophesy. Study to show yourself, to be approved. A word not need to be ashamed of, never got across the bed. But anyway, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because if you don't study the word, you will not rightly divide the word of truth. And what you do is, because a lot of times we do what we hear somebody else say. And here's somebody else maybe don't study the word and rightly divide it. So they're saying it different. And they're saying it like the Holy Spirit and the rightly divide it to them. So what we'll do, we'll argue with them. Arguing with him is not pleasing him either. But like I said, going back up, he said, fret not thyself because of evil. Stop worrying about the people that do wrong. Leave them in the hand of God. Forget about them. Pray for them. Bless them, Jesus. Why they did whatever? Why they this? Why they that? So that means we'll be more concerned about him if we disobeying scripture. I don't care if we don't drink no liquor. I don't care if we don't go out there and fornicate or whatever it is. But by me fretting and worrying about them and talking about them, I'm still disobeying the word of God. Because he told me in the first verse of it, fret not thyself because of evildoer. Even no matter how they prosper, what they get. I listen to people a lot of time. And a lot of times people say really, because other people prospering, other people getting, and God seems like he got me on the horse kind of line, and they digging. Yeah, but you're going to lose yours. I don't have to tell them that, because however you got it. But guess what? When I get mine, I'm not intending to lose because I'm going to let God get me. You have to pay money when I may not have to even pay no money. And you may have to work on up to years to get it paid for. So that's why he tells us, fret not thyself because of evil. I've had people in my life at the time. They had a little more than what I had, and all this stuff. And God wasn't taking them the way he was taking me. And they used to try to rub salt in the wound to make me jealous of what they had. But I didn't get jealous. I'm not about things. So you get them. I had a lady tell me one time when God was taking me through, and wouldn't let me pick up my apartment like I used to do when I was unsaved. And she said this to my face. She said, Miss Ruth, you're so poor, you ain't even got a dime. I mean, it kind of hurt me, but I kind of laughed. And it let me see how she looked at me. Because she wasn't being led by the Spirit of God by picking up her apartment. It's just what she liked to do in jail for somebody else. But I've been led by the Spirit of God. This is why I don't sit and judge somebody else's life. Because you don't know which way God is taking them and why God got them living the way they're living. Because it could be the people that you want to go to minister to, they ain't going to have the best. You can't go with your nose up in there. You can't go, well, I don't want to sit down here because I might get a bug on me or something. Because God would not send you. And sometimes we go through things. The hope, but we go through things because of the type of ministry and how God's going to use us. And sometimes, like he did me, he really stripped me because it's not that I was saying anything to people, but a certain attitude and action lets you know that you feel like you're above people. But God was letting me know that the ministry he was sending me to, a lot of the people that he sent me to, they're not going to have the best clothes, best house stuff, but they're important to him. They're important to him, and he's training them and taking them because he's going to use them in some kind of way like that. So we have to be very careful. But anyway, and this is what he said, and he, sixth verse, shall bring forth righteousness, not you or I, as the light and our judgment as the noonday. He's going to do this through us, but we got to yield ourselves to him and do the right thing, what he's telling us that we need to do, how we need to carry ourselves, And see, this is what people's not doing, because the scripture tell you how we are supposed to act or react. This is what he's more concerned about than all this other stuff that we do, and we still act ugly. That's not going to get that blessing of God. What's going to get it when I do what this word of God he tell me to do? And he said he's going to bring forth righteousness. He's going to bring forth justice. You don't have to worry about trying to get justice with people because they haven't said something to you or done something to you. That means you're trying to take it over. You're trying to handle it yourself. He said justice belongs to him. He said, I shall repay. And like I said, he had to teach me. And I constantly tell them what's going to happen. I want people to know there was a time in my life. You do your stuff and you say what you say and you're wrong. I'm intending to get you told. I got to, as if I got to make you see you're wrong. 9 times out of 10, they already know they're wrong. They know what they're doing. But he used to tell me, for me to keep my mouth shut, the battle ain't chosen mine. But he said he's going to bring forth righteousness. He's going to bring forth justice. So if I take it in my hand and bring it forth, then he's not going to bother with it. Because I'm handling it. Because actually, I'll be honest with you, I thought I had to handle everything that concerned me and sometimes other folks too. I just didn't like people doing wrong and dogging other people's out. I couldn't stand it. Didn't understand why or anything, but after I began to read on even a book on about the prophetic office that a person walk in, that's how they are, that's how they feel. Anything wrong, not their own opinion, I'm not talking about opinion, they do not agree with it. They only want to see righteousness being established. This is why when you meet a real true person that walk into that office, you know, in that level or whatever it is, they are not going to agree with anything that the Bible disagree with anything the Bible says right. If the Bible says wrong, they're going to go with the Bible. That is their nature. I didn't know that was what it was. I thought it was just me. You know, and like I say, it didn't have to be family. I was never one of them types that I would only feel that way about family. But anybody else, you know, it's okay, I ignore it. I just wouldn't like that either. I'm not saying I was good all the time. I had some things that I did, but anything I did was always hurt me. Wouldn't have hurt nobody else. But he said, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Rest, rest, rest. Rest in the Lord. Don't be worried. Don't be frightened. Don't be concerned. Don't be, what you got to just lay back like you're going to lay back in a hammock and rest. Rest in the Lord. And wait patiently. You know what waiting patiently means? Being still, not trying to work, not trying to make it happen, not trying to put you on, listen, the Lord is telling you, and wait for his time and his what? His season. Because the Bible tells us in the New Testament, say, after patience, you receive the promise. So if I'm still figuring, I'm still trying to get it to happen, I'm still trying to want it to happen, I'm not being patient. I don't care what kind of lie I tell myself. That's why I tell people, look up words. Look up the words. It doesn't matter how we think. We know the word because I find out a lot of time with me, and I do read a lot and study a lot, but I find out a lot of time I be mistaken how that word, what the word means in a particular scripture. And this is why a lot of time I study out the Hebrew and Greek, because a lot of time what I find out, it may mean one thing in one verse, but another it means something different. That's why we have to really study the word. That's why we got to really do a lot of time, like I said, have books and concordances and all this stuff just laying around. You know, a lot of times people, I know they don't say them, but when I got all that stuff, I say in the word, I need it. I need it to know whether I'm rightly dividing the word of truth. I need to know whether I'm putting the word in the right place. This is why a lot of time I go above the scripture and below it to really get the right of what the word means and because it's how to really let the Holy Spirit bring it out. But then they say, wait patient for him. Fret not thyself again because of him who prospers in his way. Because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. He said a lot of these people, if we shouldn't worry about it, they every time they're around, they get it. Every time they're around, they get it. And we don't realize, you fretting, you worrying. That's jealousy. But don't know how. They got it. Even though they have money, that don't mean they took their money and get it. Because there's a lot of people. I've known people like to manipulate. They like to go and work their mojo in trying to get some, because they think they're real smart and real good talker. I can talk anybody out of anything. That's wicked. That is wicked. I got a nephew one time trying to tell me, I can be a lawyer because I know how to talk and get stuff out of people. But he got in so much mess since then, and I guess they're talking didn't do no good to help him out. So anytime we think we smart, that's me be taking it, and it ain't got nothing to do with God. Oh, you'll come down. You'll come down. But the Bible says, cease from anger. I hear people say, well, I don't get angry with people. I'm not angry. All you got to do is listen to people talk sometimes. Listen to how they get snappy. They get snappy with you. Just over something stupid. He says, cease from anger and forsake wrath, that rage. He said, don't even operate and get in that rage. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. There are all Christians, and this was some of the Bible, some of the believers, some of the Israelites was his people. So that meant they had to be doing that. Okay? And they sit up and plot to get something back. I've had it seen with me, even I said within the last year, last year. Okay, the enemy uses people sometimes. And you could be talking to them about something, whatever it is, and they wait 2 and 3 weeks or months down the line. And here you talking about something else, and they'll throw that thing up. They have been sitting and thinking and marinating on that thing and waiting for the right time to bring it out. And basically, they be wrong in what they're saying. But he tells us here, fret not thyself in any way to do evil. Let me handle it. Sometimes going back with me, with people, when I want to try to get them told and make them see themselves, this is what I can say. I was better thinking about evil because I was going to make sure I let them know themselves. Let them know what you did is wrong. Let them know that, because I've had a lot of problems with people always going to think I was dumb, they know now. And in the world, I'm always trying to go here and let you know I'm not as dumb as you think I am. I was coming to defense of myself. That was wrong. It was wrong when I was in the world, but especially wrong to do it what? Now. Because I'm not going to let you get away with whatever you think you're doing. I'm going to make you aware of it. Well, the most time, they're already aware of it. They ain't going to change it just because I tell them. They're going to change it. Then they're going to even think I'm more stupid. They're going to already think that anyway. Because if it didn't, they wouldn't have reacted and treated me like they did. The Bible says, for evildoers, this is another thing why you don't have to worry. You don't have to pray it, and please don't do that. Please don't wish it on them. Just pray for them. But he said, he called them evildoers. All this stuff I was talking about up here that they did, he called it evildoers. This is why God wants people to understand. It's not talking about the people out there drinking and smoking. That's evil. That's not evil. They're not destroying your body. You can simply eat too much to destroy your body. He's going to destroy you. But evil must come out of the heart. Whatever you see people doing that's wrong, and that's because their heart is evil. The Bible says it. Not because you know all this other stuff they want to put on the world way of thinking, you know, world way of saying. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's scripture. The Bible said the heart is desperately wicked and evil. Not all this stuff they put on personality, this, and that's the world way of thinking, and not all this, and all that stuff was called out of the heart. And like I say, you can know what's in a person's heart, especially if you got evil in it. All you got to do is either say something to correct them or whatever it is, squeeze them, as I call it. Listen to what's come out. They'll do that, or either sometimes it has been for people, they don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. They're angry. The flesh is in operation also. He said, but they shall, the evildoer shall be cut off. What he's going to do, he's going to consume that they're going to die or something's going to happen to them. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Whatever your promise is, when you wait upon the Lord, wait upon the Lord. Not your time limit, not my time limit, somebody, but his time limit, his due season. He said, you shall inherit the earth. You wait in expectation. And I'm talking about, you're not giving up on, you know it's going to come, you know God's going to come at the right time and this, that, and all. But my sin, when am I going to do it? He ain't done it. I'm not waiting in expectation. I'm thinking if he see my action, he's going to jump ahead and move. But see, one thing we have to learn, we can't manipulate God at all. He's not going to, we're using incorrect English, but anyway, get the point over. Wait patiently upon the Lord. He knows the timing. He got the time already set. And one thing I have learned in my relationship with the Lord, that I don't care how bad I need it and want it. If that is not his due time, he ain't doing it. He's not moving. Not to deny me, but he's just not going to let us break his rules and his laws to manipulate him to do what we want. Because we think we deserve it, and we think we whatever it is. I'm giving you scripture. Sometimes I'm going to have to go back through this and do the rest of it. What's talking about time? It's right now. I'm going to go ahead and pray. If you have one hand up, go ahead and pray. But we got to get in the Word. And then we start got to get upset and frightened and up and down. Because I'm telling you, the Bible can say we're the unstable in all our ways. Double minded. That's going to hold it up. And that's why a lot of time, and some people out there, God is not doing things or whatever they are, because we're trying to really push God's button. Sometimes where he deserves to do me. But I tell people, he don't deserve to do anything. I mean, I have done a lot for the kingdom, for my work. But he does it for me because of his word. He promised he loved me. Now, I'm thankful for him for doing it. If he didn't do it, I'm not going to get mad with him. I'm not going to stop serving him. Because he knows what's best for me. Well, we got to start worrying about the people that seem to be prospering. They're not prospering. They're not growing spiritually. The problem is stuff. And if somebody come in there to take their stuff, they're ready to shoot them and kill them. But if I get in a place I need to get in Christ, if they need to try to come, he'll have the angels at the door and they can't get in. They really can't get in. So we, as a people, but I see the hand going, the person going off now, they had the hand up. But we as a people need to come to a place in Christ that get in that word and believe what it say. And say, Lord, I'm just going to trust you because you got to work some things out. You got to put some things in place. You got to get me in place. I know that you not help me not to grieve your spirit. Help me to please you. Because you sees everything and you knows everything. This is what we have to do. I've seen a lot of people that got blessed. And what's going on? I'm preaching with them, teaching with them. You know, what's going on with God's people? They may go to church and that's it. But look like they prosper more than what I'm prospering. But they're not growing in Christ. Their relationship is not being built in Christ. So what they do out of ignorance, they might laugh and pick. But she's been waiting a long time and she ain't got nothing yet. But look what I got. But let somebody call them to pray for somebody sick. They can go and pray 9 times out of 10 and that's going to happen. But call that other person who's trying to grow in Christ. Call them. And when they come, they may not even have to lay hands and pray. Just speak a word. And God raise that person up. We got to determine which one is more important. Does God give me everything I want? I'm living now. I got to be begging people to pray for me that nobody don't come and bother me with it. Nobody don't steal my stuff. If I get the place in Christ that he wants to, I don't have to sip and worry about it because I know he's going to protect me. I know he's going to protect me. The Lord had it spoken to me back in, which I know this because I know what scripture said, back here a few weeks ago. And I was also asking prayer for my daughter, but the Lord had the man of God tell me that God had stationed 2 angels with her. He got a wall of protection for her. Then he turned around and said, God wants you to know. He got angels to protect you. So since he got angels protecting me, why do I have to worry about anything? You hear the Lord and walk in obedience to his. If he say, sit still, go, don't go, and listen to him, the angel will protect me. But if I don't pay no attention to him, I'm going to go anyway. I'm not going to trust their prayer. I just pray for them to trust me anyway. I'm tempting Christ. But we cannot put our eyes on people. We got to keep our eyes on Christ. When Peter got off that boat and was getting ready, he told, Jesus told him to come to him. He was doing all right until he looked at the wave. What is that saying? We've been moving and doing all right, but once we start looking at other things, looking at other people, looking at the ways or whatever it is, now, Lord, we get worried. Now we get frantic. Now we get, you know, lost our peace. As some people say, you know, I had a meltdown. No, it wasn't no meltdown. It was where you had, where you came in a place that you had fear instead of faith. You didn't trust God. You allowed the enemy talking and sin to get you to a place where you weren't trusting God. And I'm not going to tell anybody that is even staying where I am, in him. I'm trying to get that place. I had to learn because people be bragging, and this is one other thing I'm going to say because, I've got about 3 minutes on here, but I have to come back to this later. But this is a prophet from Connecticut had called me out one time in Greensboro, and he said, the enemy, and he said, my people that are around me, people minister, pastor. So they said that you gonna say the lowest of the lowest, and I'm looking. I'm saying to myself, Lord, is that the way they really think about me? Because I didn't have all what they had. Now I had decent stuff and all that, but I was getting in Christ and more of the Spirit. But they had to call me when trouble was in their home and pray. But that is the attitudes in the heart, and that's how some of them looking. Because to them, they think when you're in Christ, that means because you have everything, you got this relationship. It's not an abundance of things. And I know we all want some decent stuff or nice stuff or whatever it is, but never make stuff out of God. Because no matter what we get, you're going to have those people. Because of Christ in us, they ain't going to think we got nothing anyway. They're going to find something wrong with it anyway. But you can get to a place in Christ. Hey, you don't even bother to think what you want to think. Because what you're trying to make me do, you're trying to make me just do that, how they say, when people trying to keep up with the Joneses. Now I got to constantly be God. Now I got to constantly pray. Now I got to constantly give me 2 or 3 jobs or whatever else to keep up with you so you can't talk. And you're going to talk anyway. Can't do that. Keep our eyes on Jesus. And knowing that he got all of it, which is one thing that helped me really to get to where I am today, all I tell people I know me in Christ, that I know that if I stick with him, whatever he do for me and give me, he's going to outweigh them for what they get. Just like he had a lady tell me back in 2018 when I told him a car he got to pay for. He said, the car he's going to give me, but it's always going to have to pay for.
90 seconds.
He said he's going to make people jealous because they're going to say I can't afford it. Now, in the natural, I can't get no car like that. So what's the best thing for me to do? Wait on Christ. Wait on his timing. Because I also told God I didn't want to make my mind on. And the car that I do have, it's a used car, somebody had bought that. But after God gave that word about the new car, a lady that was my next-door neighbor, she was take the car because she's going to bring me back. But she ended up talking to the man about what the car needed, how much it is, and all this, and she told the man to give her the information. And I'm looking at her because she ain't saying nothing to me. And I know she wasn't trying to be nosy. But God had already started before I even got the new car. I'm trying to tell people from truth, from examples, how to get to that place. I don't care if God put you higher in your faith and believe in than mine, or give you more. But my job is to help you get there by telling you the truth, tell you the examples, and how to operate and get into the place in Christ. But always let him be top priority. Father, we thank you tonight, Father, and for what you're doing and going to do, God, even for the word, Father. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we praise you for this word. Let this word go deep down, God, in their hearts and souls of people, Father God, and bring about revelation and truth, Father, in the name of Jesus, so they can walk in victory, Father. Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you tonight, God. Continue to strengthen me, God, and continue, Lord God, to help me, God, to bring forth your truth to your people, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we just pray for the sisters on the line, God, the other had the hand of God off, God. We pray for the one that's only, God. I thank you for what you're doing in life, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we just praise you. We ask you to continue to strengthen her, continue to give her revelation knowledge, God. Continue, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Use her, bless her, Father, in the name of Jesus. Help to keep her, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we thank you, we praise you for all that you have done in her life, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I ask you just to lift her up in the spirit, Father God. Continue to bless her home, God. Continue, Lord God, to bless her mother, Lord God. And Lord, I'm believing by faith for you to raise her up. For you to raise, it's nothing too hard for you, God. I know you know the plans that you have for her life and all that, Father God, but that don't stop me from believing. It don't stop me from believing, don't stop me from trusting you and asking you. Keep both of them, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen and amen and amen. So we thank God tonight, and my time is it ran out a few minutes ago. But tomorrow night, Saturday night, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do a show. I won't do another show like this until Sunday night at 7 Central, and I think it's 8 my time, which is 9. Because I usually do a free call conference.com on Saturday, but wasn't nobody showing up. So I don't know whether I started doing it. If anyone wanted to come on and pray or whatever it is, they let me know. You know, I can go on anytime I get ready on that one. Anytime, stay on as long as I want to stay on. But we love you. We praise God for you. And I bless you. I bless you. I speak the blessing of God upon your life in a mighty, 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 mighty way. I pray God do even more tomorrow or tonight in your life. I pray the peace of God. I pray you be able to get some sleep and some rest. And we thank and we praise you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So good night, my dear sister. Until we talk.